Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. As we all pretty much know by now here in California, there really isn't a well-defined wildfire season anymore. Already this year, there have been a number of smaller fires across the state, notably a 200-acre fire in late April in Southern California. There wasn't major damage in that one, but it did happen just weeks after our near historic winter season. So what can we expect this year? With so much rain, so much snow still caked on the Sierra, will we see the mega fires we've become so accustomed to? We might think with all of that rain and snow, the fire season might be dampened a bit this year. But on the other hand, will all of that growth and fuels dry up and create dangerous conditions? Chief Daniel Berland is CAL FIRE's acting fire marshal, as well as oversees its community wildfire preparedness and mitigation. He also served for many years as CAL FIRE's public information officer. Good morning. Nice to see you.
Good morning. It's great to see you as well.
So is there really any way to predict this year's fire danger?
Yeah, you know, there are so many factors that go into it. And really here in California, it's not if a wildfire is going to strike, but when. But of course, our fire meteorologists are spending a significant amount of time constantly monitoring weather conditions to ensure that our response matches those conditions. Now, obviously, you know, the rain that we've had this year has provided some short-term relief to drought conditions that we've been experiencing. But we've got to remember that it's just been 1 year of great rain, and we've had multiple years, 3 years of ongoing drought conditions. And so it's going to take a lot more rainfall to really catch up to where we are. And despite all the rain that we did see this winter, it's already starting to dry out, and we're already starting to see new wildfires, as you mentioned, occur across the state.
Can you put into perspective how this season's historic rain and snow, or near historic, it was historic in the Southern Sierras, how it changed the landscape up and down the state?
Yeah, you know, again, it is historic rainfall, right? More rain than we have seen in some places in decades. And while the rain has absolutely reduced those effects of the drought, like I said, it's going to take more than just a single year to recover. And a proof point here, you know, about the rain is that back in February, our crews were in the Eastern Sierra near Mammoth Lakes area, where they experienced record snowfall. And we were helping remove snow and shovel off driveways and allow people to get out of their homes. And by April, that snow had melted, and we had a 35-acre fire. So in 2 months, we went from record snowfall to wildfires. And so, again, the rain is a great thing, but it is not necessarily the only factor that's going to drive this year's fire year.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, the name is CAL FIRE, but it is a 365-a-day year job. And so you go from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah, and this year, you know, of course, because of that record rain, we've had significant flooding, and we've been using our crews to assist communities sandbag and fight those flooding issues, that record snowfall. But of course, wildfires are our primary mission, especially in the summertime, because that becomes our most frequent natural disaster here in California. And so our firefighters have continued to train up, and we're ready for whatever type of fire year we are going to experience, because it's really important to note that fire season is a little bit of a term of the past. And even with, again, record rainfall in January, we were still responding to wildfires in the winter months.
Yeah. And we have reminders of that. We don't have to go that too far into history, just a few years. I mean, when we think about mega fires, you know, some people may think about, you know, certain areas where it happens, but we can be proven wrong time and time again, right? Like, you did have the Camp Fire in 2018 in Butte County. Months before, in June, you had the Carr Fire, which was up in Redding. The year prior, you had the Wine Country wildfires in a suburb neighborhood in Coffee Park. So you have Southern California as well. But generally speaking, when you guys are trying to mitigate and prepare and kind of forecast where the risk is the greatest, are there some parts of the state more prone to wildfires than others?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. You know, this rain is a great thing, and we will take every drop of rain that we can get. But already, as you drive up and down the valley in the Sacramento region, the grass is starting to dry out. And so what we're likely going to experience, as we've already started to see, is the lower elevations where that grass is going to likely be the places where we experience more wildfires first. And as conditions dry out throughout the summer, things will start to move up elevations into the brush and into the timber. These are larger vegetation, so it takes longer for them to dry out. And so in reality, it's likely going to be the lower elevations that burn first. But it's also important to remember that there are parts of the state that still saw abnormally low dry conditions, low rainfall, dry conditions. And that's, you know, some of the northeastern mm-hmm. portions of our state, Siskiyou County, Lassen County, right. Modoc counties. And in fact, today, firefighters are on scene of a 55-acre fire up in Modoc County, again, very remote part of the state. And then down in the southern portion of the state, the desert areas, the Coachella Valley, the Colorado River valleys, these areas too saw abnormally dry winter months. And so those areas are still drier than normal. So we are a big state, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. But, you know, to, again, answer your question, it's going to likely be the valley areas, the Sacramento region, the lower elevations. That's where we're likely going to experience more of our wildfires as it moves up, the elevations and dry out.
Given that you have an invaluable hindsight, you've been in this fire business with Cal Fire for many, many years. How has firefighting and preparedness changed in that time?
Well, really, you know, if you look back at the decades, you know, our fire season, using that older term, has grown significantly due to a changing climate and a number of other factors. In fact, a study at the University of California shows that our fire seasons today, the peak fire seasons, are on average almost 80 days longer than they were in the 1970s. And so we have a longer period for conditions to dry out. And so, you know, again, whether we get a year like this where it's a lot of rain, whether it's a year where we don't get a lot of rain, California naturally has a dry Mediterranean climate. And so it's going to burn. That's what has happened for centuries. And so it's really, again, not a matter of if, but when. And so that's why it's so important that we be prepared year round, you know, with our firefighting, you know, staff. And as you talk about, you know, what has changed, we've really gone from a seasonal department to needing, based on these weather conditions, year round weather conditions, year round staffing. And so we have a lot more firefighters year round. Now, again, in a year like this, where we didn't have as many fires in the winter months, they were able to help with other natural disasters. Mm-hmm. But again, it's so important that not only we as a department be prepared, as a fire service be prepared, but that as a community we're prepared, that we've got defensible space around our properties, that we've hardened or retrofit our homes with building materials that are ember resistant, that we create evacuation plans so when a fire strikes, we know how to get out. It is so important that we all be prepared regardless of what the weather conditions say.
When you hit home on staffing, I mean, at the core of this are people, you know, whether it's firefighters or communities that are impacted. And they have been through the thick of it in recent years. I remember covering the North Complex fire in Butte County. I believe that was in 2020. And talking to a firefighter that just went from one wildfire to another for like weeks on end. It is grueling work. And now here we are years later. I mean, that has ripple effects. That pays dividends. I mean, is burnout still a real concern for Cal Fire?
Yeah, the health and well-being of our employees really right now is number one for us. Because as you mentioned, we've had year after year after year of just significant wildfire years that have done massive destruction. So it's not just the fact that many of our firefighters, not just at Cal Fire, but across local departments, our federal agencies, have had to work months at a time, being away from their family, being on the front lines day after day after day. That takes a toll. But also the destruction that they see, you know, the fact that in the last 5 years, over 50,000 homes and buildings have been destroyed. People have died. You know, hundreds of people have died in this past decade. That too takes a toll on our firefighters. And so, you know, we're really focused on making sure we have adequate staffing to allow our firefighters the time they need to get off the fire line, take some rest, spend time with family. And so really, I would say right now, we are very much focused on a balance of ensuring that that our ability to respond to wildfires is priority, but that the health and well-being of our employees is just as important. Because if our firefighters aren't in a healthy state, how are they expected to go and protect our communities?
We're talking about trauma. I mean, how has Cal Fire evolved to offer mental health services?
Yeah, well, not just Cal Fire, but really the fire service has had to adapt as one of, you know, now, you know, a leading cause of not just burnout, but also suicide. And so as a fire service, we really increased the training in both behavioral and mental health, as well as even cancer awareness. And we really focused on as a fire service, those types of trainings as a department, making sure that we have programs and counseling to really help our firefighters get through these challenging times. And again, health and well-being of our firefighters is priority for us.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and we're talking with Chief Daniel Berlant, Acting State Fire Marshal, about the impacts this year's storms have had on on the fire outlook for this upcoming summer and beyond. So let's focus on solutions, because there is technology, things are evolving, and those are assets. What has improved in terms of the technology that is being used?
You know, we are light years ahead in just the last couple of years of the technology that we're using, our modeling systems that we have, so that we can better predict where, when a wildfire breaks out, where is it going to go? What resources do we need? And so we can make tactical decisions. The equipment that we have, we are investing a significant amount of money in larger equipment, in more equipment to help us really have an aggressive initial attack on fires. We have camera systems all across the state now, a network of cameras that allow us early detection of these wildfires and really be able to provide command and control decision making of what resources are needed based on what we are actually seeing on the ground. But then also using technology to help us plan where we're going to do our fire prevention activities. And one of the things we just here recently initiated is taking all of the fuel reduction efforts we've done in a map form and being able to provide that into the computer system in our fire engines and into our battalion chief's vehicles. And so they can make tactical decision making based on where fuel reduction activities have occurred or in and around communities. And so technology has definitely been a game changer for us to really leverage the work on the ground, the boots on the ground, our firefighters, to really be more strategic and more tactful.
Am I correct in this? For the first time in the agency's history, this was last fire season, Cal Fire flew helicopters at night.
Yeah, and you know, that may not seem that impressive in civilian aircraft. You can fly commercial any time of the day, but to safely fly firefighting aircraft at night has been something that really has not been able to occur. But with new technologies, new training, and more importantly, new equipment, the investment that the governor made in being able to replace our aging Vietnam era helicopters with new Firehawks. These are the civilian version of a Black Hawk helicopter that are safer with twin engines, but more importantly, allow us to equip our pilots with night flying vision. That has allowed us to be able to, during the right application, be able to use our aircraft at night. And yes, in the last couple of years, we've been able to fly more fires at nighttime, having an around-the-clock aerial assault. And so that technology and that investment in our fire protection resources is already paying dividends.
An important piece in this also is mutual aid. I mean, California relies on other states. I mean, what's happening with drought and wildfire conditions is not just happening in California, right? It's happening more broadly along the western United States. How has mutual aid become a strain or challenge, as in those states, they're dealing with mega wildfires as well?
Yeah, California is not immune by itself in the west to wildfires, and really not just the western states. Many of our eastern states are also experiencing wildfires as well. But let me take a step back and talk about, here in California, we're very fortunate. Cal Fire has the largest firefighting staffing in the entire world. We have over 11,000 firefighters and support staff to be able to, have an aggressive initial attack on wildfires. But we cannot do it alone, especially in this era of mega fires. It requires all agencies. And so we rely heavily on that mutual aid system, our local fire departments sending us resources, our federal agencies. But it is a challenge when our federal agencies have 49 other states to contend with. And like you said, when other states have other, their own fires to deal with, it's hard for them to be able to send us resources. And so that's why it's been so important for us in California to invest in our own resources, not just at Cal Fire, but also invest in the ability to have mutual aid and pre-positioning of local fire resources. Staffing is an issue. Let me tell you, we are hiring. We're hiring the board.
Is recruitment difficult?
Recruitment in the fire service, not just with us, but across the board in California, is a challenge. And so we're really trying to find diverse populations of people who maybe never thought that they could or would be a firefighter, and let them know we have a job for them. Because for us as a state to be able to respond to our level of activity from wildfires, but all types of emergencies, we've got to continue to hire more firefighters. We've got to continue to train more firefighters. Now, again, we've invested a lot. We have a significant amount more firefighters this year that we're able to hire than we did in years past. And so significant investments in our state, but also, those dollars to be able to fund to help local fire departments to respond to fires, but then also be able to backfill behind their own firefighters so they too can continue to protect their community.
Mm. A piece when it comes to resources, the state also relies on inmate firefighters. And that was a challenge during the pandemic because of public health. Where does that stand now?
Yeah, you know, we continue to have a strong relationship with the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, taking low-level inmates and as on a voluntary basis, training them up as firefighters and using them. Now, for a whole number of reasons, and is a complex issue, the number of inmate firefighters in the state has decreased. However, the number of fire crews, we have worked hard to leverage other partnerships with the CCC, taking young, enthusiastic, hardworking women and men who are just looking to figure out what their next step is. They join the CCC and we train them up as fire crews. The California National Guard has also stepped up.
The California Conservation Corps, right? CCC?
Yes, CCC, California Conservation Corps, the California National Guard, as well as being able to really for the first time in decades hire our own firefighters just to sit on crews, not just staffing fire engines, but staffing crews. And so, all of these different departments, corrections, CCC, California Conservation Corps, as well as the California Military Department, we are leveraging all state agencies that we can to ensure that we have the adequate fire crews that we need, our adequate firefighters that we need to be able to respond.
The state is also beholden to a budget, and we have a budget deficit for the state. The governor released a May revise. They're obviously still negotiating. What's in it for CAL FIRE, for wildfires?
Despite the fact that these are some challenging budget times with the deficit that we're spending, I have to stress the billions of dollars in the last couple of years that the state has invested in fire protection and more broadly in wildfire and forest resiliency, in fire prevention, in forest health areas. And in reality, we've taken no cuts to our fire protection. In fact, the governor has asked the legislature for some additional resources to augment moving forward to this year. So fire protection, even in these challenging times, has continued to be prioritized. And in our wildfire and forest resilience, we're very proud to say that, nearly $2.7 billion in just the last couple of years has been invested in that effort of fire prevention and forest health. And, we've taken some minor reductions, but in whole, we've held that in kept that intact by about 98%. And so, we are still going strong with the state's focus on wildfire and forest resilience. It's really important as we've invested a lot of money in fire protection, in firefighters and equipment, we're not going to be able to respond our way out of this wildfire crisis. And so keeping laser focused on fire prevention, on mitigation, on community preparedness, on forest health, this continues to be our strategy to deal with this crisis.
Chief Berlant, thank you for the time.
Thanks.
We could keep talking and talking and talking. That is Chief Daniel Berlant, who is CAL FIRE's acting fire marshal, as well as the deputy director over community wildfire preparedness and mitigation. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.